Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
I mean, I think I'm doing a little better than you. Just judging by the sound of your voice, it's pretty rough fighting through the laryngitis to give the Bulls fans the content they need. So, you know, we appreciate you, Fred.
Pretty impressive. It's like Willis Reed, isn't it, DT?
Exactly like that. You know, I think Willis Reed scored like 8 points in that game. It was like actually a pretty poor performance. So, but it was the emotional lift.
It's going to be a very appropriate comparison then. Because you're going to do most of the talking, my brother.
I'm going to do my best.
It's been a while. Like, talk about this roller coaster that we're on. You know, very similar, I think, to last year. And where we're going up and down and somehow end up right back at that average theme park known as Mediocre Land. What say you? I'd like to get your thoughts on, you know, the team is right now, what, the 10th seed, 18-21, you know, in the play-in. What do you think so far this year? What are your thoughts on where the Bulls are at?
I mean, it's disappointing, right? Like, because the guys that you kind of would like to have led the Bulls to this point aren't really doing it. You know, if like Kobe White was just amazing this year and Patrick Williams took a big step up this year and Josh Giddey was just amazing, you'd maybe feel okay even if they were just 500. But, you know, like really the drivers of this year have been Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic. You know, been the two best players for the team. And those are guys that fans generally don't view in the long-term future of the team. I mean, I think we could maybe say Zach is probably going to be here through the end of the year based on the rumors. And yeah, maybe he's even just going to finish out his contract here because like, it's crazy to me the lack of trade value that seems available for Zach given how well he's playing. But it is what it is. And so I think in that case, like I'd probably just keep Zach versus, I mean, we're not even getting expirings, which would be dicey to do, and then try to reuse the money. We're getting like bad contracts. Like, what's the point? Like, Zach LaVine at least is an amazing player on his salary. Like, why would you want Michael Porter Jr.? So, like, you know, it seems like Zach will be here and Vooch, maybe we'll move, maybe we won't. But, you know, it's not the guys you would want us to be leading to this kind of like average performance. And so, when you start projecting out a couple of years, if these guys aren't here or aren't playing as well as they are this year, you know, it's a pretty dismal looking set of youth, you know, I think for the Bulls. Like there's not a lot of promise in the younger players they have on the roster.
You know what's so frustrating to me, Doug, though, it's Zach, it's true, Zach and Vooch are the two key drivers for us being better without DeMar DeRozan, right? Losing DeRozan and Caruso were two of the most important players in terms of net rating last year. You know, their loss has been more than made up for by the great play of Zach and Vooch. But it's also like, it's frustrating to me when you see how good they're playing and then you see Lonzo Ball come back and play, I think at an incredibly high level considering where he's come from. And then you start thinking, well, I wonder where this team could have been. You know, I wonder where maybe their ceiling could have been higher if we could have had, you know, been going on all cylinders where
I don't think so
at this level.
Lonzo Ball is not, I mean, higher, but not much higher. Lonzo Ball is playing very mediocre. You know, he had a really nice game today, but on the season, you know, he's not shooting the ball well at all. Very heady defender and a heady player, but like he's not like killing it out there.
Obviously, because he's
it's a good story that he's back, but like the actual impact, I don't think is so incredible. That's all. Like, it's a great story that he's back.
Are you telling me if you think, say, Zach had a year like he's having now, Vooch had a year like he's having now, Lonzo played near where he was in 2022, and Caruso and DeMar were playing at a high level? Where does that team max out in the East?
First round exit.
No, I disagree.
Well, I know you disagree, but I think part of it is like that you still have no defense. Like, it's still a huge problem.
Well, if you had Caruso, and I think, you would.
Yeah, but like you can't, not with Zach and Vooch and DeMar playing. Like, it just, and I don't think all those guys could play as well as they are together. Like, I think DeMar kind of gummed up the works a bit for the other guys in the way he plays. Like, I don't think like you could just have all those guys magically fit together and have it work. And I think you could, to the point where we saw it for a while, and they were like probably going to be a first round exit team, would have been my thought before. Maybe they would have been the 5 seed and they'd have a 50-50 toss up, you know, because there's not really only, if you get to like the 6 seed, you probably have a chance. Like really this year, you think like Cleveland and Boston are the only two teams like you maybe couldn't beat in the playoffs. So I guess if you could get to 6, you'd have some chance at it. But I think they would likely be a first round exit team. It's not like the absolute max best outcome wouldn't be better than that, but the likely outcome would be that.
Okay. Fair enough. I do feel like the team, if they were on all cylinders.
Yeah, if in the perfect scenario, perfect scenario, how good is Philadelphia? If Philadelphia was firing on all cylinders, how good could they be? Like, if you just use that absolute best case scenario for every team, the Bulls are still probably a first round exit team. But the reality is very few teams hit that best case scenario. And so we probably won't either. And our not best case is probably still a first round exit team. Yeah, if everything landed perfectly, I agree, we could win a playoff series. But if everything landed perfectly for every team, then maybe not still. Like the Bucks, if everything landed perfectly, would still be better than us. And same with the 76ers, same with the Cavs, same with the Celtics.
Yeah, that's fair. But, you know, they'd be in the top 6, I think. I really do.
Yeah, and the Knicks would still be better too. So, yeah, maybe they'd be 6th.
Doesn't matter. Okay. I mean, big picture.
That's the first round exit.
Big picture, the facts are. Yeah, it hasn't worked out that way. This has been a colossal disaster. We still owe first-round pick to San Antonio Spurs, which I feel like there's a good chance we're going to end up giving up. I really do. I think we'll end up 11th. But that's just the way things have been under these two guys. But you kind of touched on to me what the biggest issue is, which is, you know, Patrick Williams has not taken – I mean, Patrick Williams has regressed in every aspect of his game but passing.
Yeah.
Kobe White has been good. He's still averaging 18.4 points. He's been good, but he hasn't taken another jump. And he's been a little
bit. He's worse than last year.
I would say yes.
He's declined since last year.
Yes. Fair enough.
And for a guy his age, that's not like great, right?
It's not a significant decline, Doug. It's not. I'm not worried about Kobe.
I'm not worried about him, but he's not like, he's going to be a free agent after next year. And he's an okay player. Like, that's it. He's not a star player. Like, if he was going to be a star player, you would expect to see another jump this year, and you didn't. You saw, not a modest decline. Not, like, a huge decline, but a modest decline. And so it's pretty clear that Kobe White is just going to be a guy. Like, he's I like him. He's a good player. He's likable, but never going to be great on the defensive side. He'll maybe be average. You know, just doesn't quite have the length and athleticism to be great. And, you know, it's a three-point shooter. His percentages are down this year. And, yeah, it just is. Points are down. Like, he's just a little modest decline. And, yeah, it's not like you look at him now as a guy who's going to be a star and lead the team, which is what you were talking about in the offseason. Like, that didn't happen.
No, but he's not just a guy. He's not an average guy.
He's just a
guy.
He's
a good player.
He's just a guy.
No, I disagree on that. I think he's a good player. He's a leader of the team.
He's got to be like the 4th or 5th best player on a championship team.
Maybe. On this Bulls team.
That's just a guy.
On this Bulls team.
That's just a guy.
He's still not 1 or 2 or 3, and he's still, to me, right there with Io as a player with the highest amount of trade value due to his contract and his age and his ability and the promise that he can't get better. Understood. We're not going to
I'd completely trade him. Like, if I could, I would completely.
I think all things are on the table for this season. So if they trade him.
And it's not that I dislike Kobe either. I just trade him because he's going to be a free agent after another season. You're not going to take advantage of this cheap contract this year or next year. And some other team trying to win a title and duck the second apron and whatever and needs a score, like, is going to really value Kobe on this like cheap deal. So I think he's going to have like a lot more trade value as an asset now. And then, you know, in another year, who knows what happens? Maybe he gets better. Maybe he stays the same. But you're going to have to renegotiate with him at market rate, whatever that is. And so if he gets a lot better, he's going to be like a max guy. If he doesn't get a lot better, it doesn't really even matter. So, you know, it's just like one of those things. You need to get assets if you're this team. You've got no really good long-term assets. You got to find a good way to get them. And I think, like, you can cash in and get something decent for Kobe now, and that's not going to be an option in a year. So you know, that's the only reason I'd do it. Like, Kobe's a fine player. I won't, like, hate it if we keep him. But there's just not much you can do on this team to get assets. And Kobe and Io, those are the guys that right now probably have a lot of surplus value because their contracts are so cheap. And for teams trying to add, like, valuable pieces without going deep into the second apron or, you know, have these restrictions, those are guys that they can trade for. And there's not, like, a lot of guys that are going to add that much value on that type of contract. So they just hold a lot more valuable, or a lot more value to these other teams that need value at this low price point, you know, at this exact juncture.
Don't you think Lonzo, though, has proven enough to provide some value with an expiring deal?
No.
Really? You think he's been that poor?
No. I don't think he's been that poor, but at $20 million, no.
It's a huge expiring
like,
deal,
like
though.
You would say, like, I'd rather have Kobe or Io than Lonzo, right?
Yes, as a
like if you're another team, and those guys cost a lot less, and they don't have the injury risk. Like, yeah, I don't think Lonzo's got any trade value.
I mean, right now the big key is because of this collective bargaining agreement is getting contract flexibility, and his expiring deal is significant enough that I think and he's playing strong enough that you could probably get a player who's, you know, I think a decent pick, protected, maybe a, you know, a pretty high protected first for him, or at least a few second rounders.
Maybe if you take really bad salary back, but then why do you want to take really bad salary back if you're the Bulls? Like, the expiring contract is only useful if we're taking on more dead money. And then if you're just using him as like, all right, he's an expiring who can also play, and you're going to take on dead money and get a pick for it. Like, yeah, maybe that trade's out there, but I like, would I want like a 3-year deal that is of a bad player just to get, you know, like a bad pick? Like, I don't know. Probably not.
Would you take a 2-year deal at $20 million a year for Lonzo with draft capital for Lonzo's contract?
Depends on where the pick is.
Okay.
And how much.
Let's say it's protected, lottery protected, first round pick.
Lottery, yeah, probably. I mean, like, if I thought the pick was going to land in the, like, say, the 15 to 20 range, I'd, you know, like, if it's like the Celtics or something, like, probably not. Like, if it's like a pick that I think might be in the 15 to 20 range, yeah, probably.
Yeah, see, that's my counter is like, I think there should be a playoff team that.
I don't think there's a team out there. I just don't think there's a team out there. That's all. Like, I just, like, if you're going to, like, so would you could trade for Vooch instead. And, like, Vooch is playing way better than Lonzo. You know, that same package, we would probably give up Kobe White. Like, better than Lonzo. Like, I just don't think, like I think in a vacuum, like, that trade might make sense for someone. But when you start looking at all the stuff going on in the league and you look at the trades made so far this offseason, you know, like Dennis Schroeder, like, went for a second rounder. Dorian Finney-Smith went for, like a couple second rounders. Like, those guys are playing better than Lonzo Ball. Like, I just don't see it out there. Like, just in all the rumors you hear about what's available out there, it's like nothing like that out there, like in the rumor mill. So, you know, in a different year, I could see it. This year, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of teams that want the guys don't have picks, or they don't want to go even more all in on their super far out picks. And they're already in the second apron, and then they need, like, they can't aggregate salaries, and they have all these limitations. Like, I just think there's just too much weird stuff going on, not even just about the players, but about all the situations of the teams and what they can do that makes it less likely. Like, in a different year, like, that I definitely think value-wise someone might consider it, but I think with all the extra context of this year, I just don't think that trade will be out there.
I do feel, too, like, I keep on hearing this from a large segment of Bulls fans that Vooch should be traded. Like, he's playing so well, he should go somewhere. And I disagree. I think there's enough smart teams out there that say, guy's 34, he's got another year at $21 million. Yeah, he's done a really nice couple first 3 months here. He's terrible defensively. And, you know, is that stretch five skill, you've seen a decline in the last 10 games. I just don't believe it's real. If he was on an expiring deal this year, I have no doubt he would be traded. And you might get a couple second rounders for him, maybe even a protected first. But that extra year really kind of mucks it up. It's on your front office for giving a guy an extra year that he didn't deserve or wasn't needed. So, but yeah. Let's get off of that. Would you agree with me on that?
For the most part, I mean, I think there still might be a Vooch trade out there, but the same problem is true of Vooch. You know, it's going to be, you look at the other guys who've been moved. They've been moved for second rounders. The contract thing is like a huge problem. Like the Suns were a team, people were like, oh, if they could swap Nurkic for Vooch, they would do it. But because of the second apron, they can't take even a single dollar more than they send out. And like Vooch makes $200,000 more than Nurkic. Like if that wasn't true, they'd probably do a Nurkic for Vooch swap and toss us like 3 second rounders, you know, but like they can't. And so you just run into these weird limitations. So I think like there's some chance he might get out there, but it's the same thing. Like the new collective bargaining agreement with the second apron has created all these extra limitations that are just making some of these moves that could have been done before really hard. And then so many of the teams that would want to make moves to win now have already shot their load in terms of first round picks. And they just don't want to go out 7 years into the future knowing that their odds are really low of it making a difference and they're too far away. So I think it's just there's a lack of a combination of assets for the teams that would theoretically want to add someone, and then the complication of the contracts. I don't think the Bulls are going to get anything done at the deadline, and I think there's just going to be very little done at the deadline across the league, and the stuff that's done is going to feature like second rounders and like crap players. Like, so I don't think we're going to see like a different player go for the package, and you're going to think like, oh, why didn't we trade Vooch for that? Like, I just think it's going to be a quiet deadline with not a lot of action. It's just too much complication and everything right now.
Yeah, well said. And I do grow a little irritated that, you know, the lack of movement or the inability to move Zach LaVine, there's a lot of Zach haters that are kind of saying, well, that's a reflection on him. And it's not. He's been so freaking good this year. And in the last six games, he's, you know, scored over 30 points. And I know some people just poo-poo that. But, I mean, my God, if Patrick Williams scored 30 points in a game, there'd probably be a parade from the P-Will Mafia. I think Zach LaVine's had a fantastic season. And there are many teams that if this situation was different with the collective bargaining agreement would want Zach LaVine. But just what you touched on, it's just impossible to move a contract like that from the Bulls' perspective that makes sense, you know, because you don't want to take in bad money. You just don't want to take in something that's not going to help you get better, and you're probably better off just holding on to Zach at least another year. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. I think Zach's going to be here, and in the summer there'll be a little bit more flexibility and maybe – some teams will make a move. You know, the cap is going to rise. Zach's contract will be a little bit cheaper relatively, though not a whole lot cheaper. But I just think in the end, it's just the teams that want to make this type of move are just don't have assets. I think that's the real problem, and they're already all too expensive, and they can't financially make the trade work. You know, like Jimmy Butler is probably not going to get traded. You know, I mean, and people talk about how great Jimmy Butler is and blah, 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 blah. And his contract situation is a little better than Zach's. You know, than that he seems like he's going to opt out next year. Like, I think Jimmy is nuts if he opts out, to be honest. Like, there's no money. Yeah, I think he's saying it, but I think when the reality comes down and hits him that there's nothing out there, he'll probably opt in or he'll look for a sign and trade. But yeah, like I just, you know, like he's on the market and is demanding a trade, and there's no market for him either. You know, so it's just. So it's just the way the market is right now. So there's not much out there like that you're going to be able to get, and it might be a little better in the summer. It might not. It's hard to say, but I don't think it's going to be wholly different. So I think it's going to be tough for teams to make moves. And, you know, so for the Bulls, it's great that Zach seems to have repaired his relationship with the team and is playing great. And, you know, it may be that what Chicago needs to do is try to win next year. Like, you know, or if you want to try to be bad, you're going to have to, you know, trade off Kobe and Io and, you know, and do other stuff. Like, it's going to be hard to move Zach. Like, I just think that's going to be tough the way the league is set up at this moment.
Zach did it the exact right way. He went out and played awesome. And he actually now is potentially making a move available. Whereas Jimmy Butler,
yeah,
to me, it's one of the dumbest political moves, or I don't even know what he's trying to do in terms of negotiating the contract. It's so incredibly stupid to me, and people would try to justify it. Like, who's going to give him a 3-year contract after this, or a 4-year contract at max money? If he would have done what Zach did, gone out and balled and played great, I think it would have been possible that some team would have been dumb enough to give him that money at this age. But he's just not that as good as he was. He's just not. And for him right now, he's just made himself so toxic that the Suns will take a chance, maybe one or two other teams, but he's going to opt into $52 million. And I'd be shocked, maybe at with, you know, for a team that wants to get $52 million in expiring dollars, he might take a chance and make a move, but I don't see it happening. You know, I mean, I think he'd be absolutely crazy unless you're Golden State or the Suns to make a move for Jimmy Butler. I don't think it will happen. I think he's going to be there. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be the same boat there, and it's going to be an ugly, ugly situation.
Yeah.
Because at least, you know, Zach LaVine in the same boat came back and, like you said, did well, kind of rebuilt the relationship. And, you know, it's he's made a trade a possibility. Now, maybe it's not going to work out because we just described a lot of reasons why. But, you know, like that situation is better now and more amicable, and everyone is better off for that.
Yeah. And think about it, too. Like I was arguing, I don't know if you saw my argument with Joe Cowley, like, Zach LaVine has a lot more to be aggrieved about. And I highlighted that the fact, you know, Cowley brought up the point that in the press release, another dumb move by our front office, he opted in to having surgery with the implication that he didn't need it. That was one. And then, of course, the Jamal Collier comments that were, you know, basically said that Zach LaVine's a loser this offseason. If Jimmy Butler was put in that same situation, can you imagine what he would have done? He would just ruin an organization. But Zach took the high road, playing great. I'm happy for him. He's a class act. And it's just a shame that Chicago isn't paying attention to how good this guy's been last six games. Let's go on, though, to Patrick Williams, which is a little bit less of a happy story. My goodness, he's had some bad games recently. I thought today was another one. What's wrong with Patrick Williams, Doug, number one? And number two, I mean, do you think this is going to go down as one of the worst five-year signings in the history of the org, which I'm starting to get concerned that it might?
I started, I shouldn't say, someone else kind of brought up this topic. Is Patrick Williams one of the worst signings ever? And so I'm only going to go back to the Krause post-Jordan era to answer this question. Because I just don't know enough about the signings in the Jordan era. And so if you go to the Krause Jordan era, you got Eddie Robinson.
Horrible.
That one seems like it'll probably be worse. You've got Ben Wallace. And I think
I disagree with
you
that.
You could argue that one either way, because at least they got results for like 1 year. And then Ben Wallace was like 3 years of dead money. But he was like a much more higher amount of dead money relative to the cap, like as a percentage. Like his contract was a lot bigger. Eddie Robinson's relative to the cap was a teeny bit smaller. Like he was, I think, at the mid-level exception. Whereas Patrick Williams, if he stays for 5 years, will be maybe 110% of the mid-level exception on average. So he's a decent amount above it now, but by the end of his contract, he'll actually be below it. I'm trying to think who the other ones were. Carlos Boozer, and I think
that's ridiculous.
Boozer had two really good years that, you know, he had the best record in the league. He was a big part of it. And then, yeah, he was kind of really bad after that, but you got a lot out of that. So I think that's definitely not true. Maybe like Rip Hamilton.
No.
Was like a complete waste of money. But again, it was like the amount of years and the total money was not so bad. So, you know, if Patrick Williams doesn't turn it around, there's one other one that it's now like slipping my mind in there that I thought was like worse than Patrick Williams. Felicio was worse than Williams. So you've got like Robinson and Felicio that were definitely worse. Maybe Ben Wallace was worse, depending how you look at it. And if Patrick Williams doesn't turn it around, he might be like the fourth worst contract, third or fourth, depending on how you view Ben Wallace. And that's like pretty bad. Like, you know, for a guy we negotiated with early, you know, we had a lot of leverage. We refused to use any of it. He was coming off surgery. He was injured. He wouldn't have been able to work out for any team. Like, yeah, it's bad. And so maybe as to what's wrong with Patrick Williams, you know, in the offseason, I pointed out to you, and we discussed this, and I think you probably agreed with me at the time. Like, so he's out with foot surgery the whole year. He's going to come in out of shape. He's not going to be able to get in shape. You know, he still may have problems because this was like the bone bruise in the foot, which is like really difficult thing to recover from. And there's this big injury risk. And even if he doesn't have an injury risk, he didn't get to work on his game at all, like over the last offseason. And when you see him, he looks like he's just out of shape. You know, he came in the offseason, I think it was at like 235. And so he added a bunch of weight. It clearly isn't good weight. You know, he looks a lot less explosive. And that's probably partially just due to the injury he sustained. And skill-wise, he didn't get a chance to work on anything, but who knows if that would have helped. He's not really added anything his whole career. But he's definitely mired in a really bad season, and I think part of it is just because he didn't get that offseason. He's let himself get out of shape. Probably is in his own head about his own performance, because he seems like the type of guy who gets in his own head. And, you know, I think it's going to be rough. Like, I'm pretty nervous about how this contract's going to age. Like, you see signs from him here and there, but there's like, we're in year five. Like, you can't be talking about signs in year five. And, you know, now you're just hoping for signs that he would just get back to where he was in like year one. You know, like it's a rough spot for him. And, you know, I think the bar in a lot of ways still isn't so high for him to be a useful player, because, you know, we know if he gets into better shape, we know he can defend at least man on man, even if he's kind of a lousy team defender, and we know he can shoot the three. And so those two things would seem to be like worth the amount we're paying him. But right now he's actually not doing either of those things well. He's defending very poorly. And, you know, his shooting is the worst year he's had in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I would counter that this is not that unexpected to me. If you look at his previous season, he was totally outplayed in the preseason. His first 19 games of the season last year was a complete abomination. He was awful. And he lost his starting job at game 10. And he had a really good December. Then he gets hurt. And for that, this guy gets a 5-year deal, $19 million a year. It's freaking insane. And so many people are justifying it, and I tried to draw the contrast between how the Bulls handled this negotiation with how a good organization like the Cavs handled the negotiation, you know, with, I think, a player who was kind of similar, and Isaac Okoro. And it's like night and day. And, you know, they got him on a bargain deal, and the Bulls paid $6 million more for less production and frankly, less defensive ability. He's not as good as Okoro on the defensive end.
Oh, nowhere near as good defensively.
Now his shooting is, you know, his three-point shooting is down to 36%. You know that's going to go back up to 40 because every year it's at 40. But, like, that's what he does. 5 years, he'll finish at 10 points per game, give or take 1 or 2 points. He'll give you some solid defense, good sequences of that. He's not good off the ball. He's still not good off the ball. He never has been. He's the most overrated player I've ever seen. I've never seen any more bizarre commentary and analysis of a player than I've seen on this guy. And the one thing that I saw that really irritated me, can't remember who gave this tweet. I should have reported. I can't remember. But it was somebody who I respect had a tweet, man, the Bulls failed Patrick Williams. And they put up a screenshot of some of his best plays as a rookie. And I was like, dude, the guy played 70-plus games. I can't recall how many games he played as a rookie. And, Doug, you would agree with me. He sucked as a rookie. He was terrible. All you heard about, he looks like he belongs out there. He was jogging up the court, standstill P-Will, didn't get rebounds, and everybody would celebrate every average game that he had. Didn't take it to the rim, never got to the free throw line. He sucked as a rookie. And the Bulls failed him. Like, this is the same organization that Coby White played well. Io got better. Like, it's the player. It's not the org didn't fail Patrick Williams. He's the same guy he's always been. He doesn't have it. He just doesn't. He's a good role player. Let's accept what he is. But let's not act like the org failed Patrick Williams. They failed in drafting him at 4, period. Everything else, this is what he is. What say you?
Completely agree. And the thing I'll say, and a lot of people hate Billy Donovan, and I don't really understand why. I think Billy Donovan's a fine coach. Not to say he does everything right, but he's clearly not an incompetent boob like Jim Boylan. He's had a good head coach his whole career. He's had like a mentor in DeMar DeRozan who seemed to take him under his wing and do everything he can to encourage him and make him better. The whole team has been trying to, like, has been on his side. Like, I don't know. He's gotten tons of minutes. Like, I don't know what else you would want this org to do to make him better. Like, there's nothing else. Like, there are times where, yeah, it was just like a clown show, like when Boylan was here. Like, that has not been the case in Pat Williams' tenure. It just hasn't. So, no, it's on him. And, you know, the one thing I'll point out to you, I think you're underselling how much worse he is this year than in the past. Like, 2-point percentage this year, 40.6%. Like his previous career low was 47.4, which was last year before the injury. Like his average is 49.3% for his career, and he's at 40%. Like that's almost 10% worse than his career average from two. Like that's really bad. Like it's a really bad change. It's the worst. You know, he's only shooting 38% from the field. You know, 36% from three. Like he's just really bad. This is a very bad year. And Patrick Williams, to your point, is like he's never been a good player. So it just is what it is. It was a weird draft class. I mean, neither of us liked the pick a whole lot. We just figured out, we'll see what happens, right? You know, like athletic kid, defensive minded, maybe it'll work out. But like, you know, and it was one of those picks where there wasn't a lot there. Yeah, I'd rather have Isaac Okoro than Patrick Williams. I sure as hell would rather have Isaac Okoro on his contract than Patrick Williams on his contract. The process of re-signing him where they just went early and gave him the 5 full years and the player option and then paid what ended up being peak market value was just ridiculously dumb and just
and another the player option.
Incompetence by
and the player
yeah,
option.
And the incompetence by our front office. Like, you know, just the whole thing is it. Yeah, our front office is a clown show. You know, that's what it is, right? They're so bad. Like I like Donovan. I think he's a solid head coach. Like I don't think he's great, but he's solid. Like if you went around the league and you just named all the head coaches, like he's probably middle of the pack. And he's probably not a lot worse or not a lot better than like the five guys, you know, either above him or below him. Like they're all probably all in kind of like a sort of big clump of like. They know what they're doing. They're solid, and they're in the right circumstances. They could be really good. They're not going to elevate really bad circumstances, you know. But like, then it's not like we've had so many clown show coaches, right? Between like Vinny Del Negro and Boylan and Hoiberg, you know, like so it's like he's not one of those guys, you know. Like he knows what he's doing, and I don't know. Anyway, but our front office is so bad. If they're not the worst in the league, and I haven't studied all of them. They're like bottom five, right? They're like for sure bottom five.
Yes. Agreed. And I don't know if you saw my I know you saw my tweet, which I got to pat myself on my back. I thought this was one of the
That was genius. I got to pat you on the back too. That was some genius there.
I said quote unquote for anybody that didn't see it. You know, they're playing Sacramento today. This is P. Will's chance to punish DeRozan for holding him back all those years. And, you know, as I wrote it, I was literally laughing out loud because, you know, that's the narrative, right, Doug? We've seen it for years from the P. Will mafia of that, you know, DeRozan was holding him back.
Yeah.
And all that's been proven to be just complete idiocy. And, you know, what happens today? Yeah. But in a way, I was a little serious. Like, hey, dude, take it to him. Come on, man. He was a joke today. A total joke today.
Yeah.
And you know, on the defensive end, I mean, like, how many times did DeRozan just, like, you know, beat him for just a layup? True, not a lot of help on the back end, but God, he was terrible. And 3-12 from the field, 1-5 from three. Way to step up in the big game to, you know, have the P-Wall Mafia proven right. You know, what a joke. Just a total joke.
Yeah. One of the tweets I made today, just since we're talking about amazing tweets and all, is, you know, like, there was the quote of, like, Patrick Williams is 3 of 9 on dunks this year. And I just noted, and I don't have the exact words, but paraphrasing it is, it's not that he's 3 of 9 that's bad. If you watch all the dunks, like most of the misses were not like easy, like dunks. Like he's not missing wide open dunks, right? They're like contested ones, or he's flying in from the side and trying to catch the ball in the midair and like whatever, they're like hard dunks. The problem is he's only had like 4 easy dunk attempts on the year. For a guy who's supposed to be like an athletic, you know, young player, you should get more dunks than that. It just in transition, just sprinting down the floor, like in the year, like you only got like 3, and the Bulls are playing fast pace. And like Josh Giddey and Lonzo Ball get the ball up the floor really fast, right? Like you got point guards that are really good about getting the ball up the court. And it means you're not making any back cuts. It means as a 3-point shooter, you're not faking anyone out and going around them for the easy dunk. You know, like the fact that he hasn't had any easy attempts is actually really what I find so damning, because for an athletic player, that should be a no-brainer. Like Javonte Green would have had 4 dunks in 1/10 the number of minutes. Like, you know, just not being an idiot. And so that's actually the part of that I find most disturbing. Not the fact that he's missed so many, but the fact that he's had so few attempts of like easy shots. Because a high IQ player or a high hustle player, either of those things would have generated way more attempts than that. And that means you're low hustle and low IQ. And yeah, that's just part of the problem. That's part of the Patrick Williams experience.
100% agree with that. Well said. I saw that too, and I did say that belongs in my new Hall of Fame I'm building of tweets.
I think we need that. Just is a brilliant idea, like a Fred and Doug Hall of Fame of tweets of like the best thing. Like this is like phenomenal. Like we just review it at the end of the year. We have nominations. I love it. I think it's a great idea.
I think we'll have it in my house too. I'll build just a room of it and we'll frame it. You know, like each tweet will
frame all the best
tweets. All the best ones and put the date, you know, and all that stuff. I did want to, you did talk about Donovan, which I often like, there's so much hate on Donovan. It's like, God, what do you expect from this team? This is to me like the worst team arguably I've ever seen for the Bulls in terms of defensive talent. It is so freaking bad. And yet we're still like almost 500. So like, I think it's a miracle what he's doing with this team, especially how they're running a completely different offense than they were last year. You know, but that said, you want to just keep on ripping on Donovan. That's fine. And a lot of it I notice now is like how he's using Bouzelas. You know, so number one, doesn't play his rookies. And I'm like, did you watch any of, you know, Patrick Williams' first year? The guy sucked and he played a ton. He also played Io a ton in his rookie year. He's playing Bouzelas, you know, 14 minutes a game. And I just brought this every time I like bring this up. Hey guys, you know, Bouzelas in his last 13 games, he's shooting from the field, all of 30% from the field, 22.6% from three over 13 games, averaging 14 minutes a game. So right away I get hit with the, you know, that you hate this kid. No, it's not. That's not it at all. I'm just highlighting like, you want him to play more. He's playing 14 minutes a game. He's been giving these minutes that I think you can argue based on that type of performance he doesn't deserve. So this is on Billy? Like he should be playing 20, 25? Like as bad as Williams is playing, he's not shooting 30 and 22. You know, like so I think it's a fine line. The kid's way too skinny. He's not good when he plays against a bigger player. Like the amount he's using him is fine. What say you?
I don't have a big problem with it because Modest hasn't been very good. The one thing I'll say is Modest is already a better defender than Patrick Williams. Like, and so he adds something. And the Bulls actually kind of need that something. And so even though his offense is kind of atrocious, I think they usually do okay in the Modest minutes because he does like kind of add something that they need and they don't have a lot of on the team. But that said, yeah, he's been really bad. There's not like really a meaningful case, you know, to play him a ton of minutes. He's the best shot blocker on the team. So I guess we got that going for us. I would say with Billy, the biggest complaint I would maybe have is just that he's playing Patrick Williams so much. And it feels like maybe you could do a little bit more Jalen Smith and Vooch together, you know, or something. Like, because Jalen Smith has had a really nice season in the minutes he's played. And I just feel like there should be more minutes for Jalen Smith relative to how well he's played and what he's done on the team. And so like, if I was going to make a complaint about Giddey, it would be you got to find a way to get Jalen Smith some more minutes. And I think you could probably afford to play him at power forward. He's, you know, better rim protector than Vooch is, you know, certainly in some lineups. Maybe if the other team is really small, that's going to be tough. But I think that's really where I feel like I would say this is the thing that maybe I think I would do differently rotation wise than he was doing. Like Jalen Smith's playing 15.4 minutes a game. And if you look at his like efficiency, you look at his like shooting stats, you look at his shot blocking, like all of it is really good relative to the other options on this team. You know, and I know Jalen Smith makes some boneheaded plays here and there, but I just feel like you could just do a little bit more there. And that would be my one complaint, but I hate to argue too much about minutes with guys. I think that's always a, you know, like a tough thing unless there's something super egregious. And Jalen Smith is the closest thing I'd say to being really egregious. And playing Patrick Williams as much as he is, I would say is the thing I feel like is maybe egregious. Like Patrick Williams, the way he's played this year, should probably be like a no more than a 20-minute a game guy, right? Would you say that seems about right?
As bad as Williams has been, I still think he's a better, probably a more, what's the best way to put this? A versatile defender in that he can guard bigger guys than Bezalis can. Bezalis just can't guard big guys. He's way too skinny and way too small. Now, I agree when it comes to rim protection and shot blocking, there is no doubt Bezalis is probably the best on the team. That's not saying a lot for the team, but he's definitely better in that one aspect of defense than Williams.
I think he's a much better help defender.
Like, that's a good call.
He has basketball IQ. And so I think help defense does a lot more for you. Like, I don't see Bezalis just getting run over by all these like super big power forwards all the time. Like, I agree it's a concern, but I just don't think there's that many teams that are going to run out like a 6'10", 240 guy and just be like, yep, let's just pound Bezalis in the post and use his strength all the time. Like, sure, if you're playing Julius Randle, I agree, that's a big problem. If he's got Karl-Anthony Towns all game, probably a problem. But I just don't think it's like a real problem in reality against most of the opponents. And the help defense does so much more for you than the man defense. So I think he's a better man defender against most guys than Patrick Williams is too, the way Patrick's been playing this year. I think there's a case for Bezalis, like that, like not that he should be playing 30 minutes. Like, he's been pretty bad. But I like Pat playing 27, like Pat's been god awful. Like, he's been god awful. Like, and so I don't think he should be playing 27. Like, I'd be like, and I said, Jalen Smith, he's playing 15. Like, Jalen Smith's been playing way better than Patrick Williams. You don't think you could get like Jalen Smith some minutes if there's a big power forward that he's got to go against? And then if it's a small power forward, you could give Bezalis a few more, like get Pat down to like 20, you know, like I don't know what the entitlement thing is for Pat in year five, but it's still there.
To me, with Billy, the biggest issue I have is why he plays Talen Horton-Tucker so much. I don't get that at all. Played a ton again today. I mean, my gosh, I don't know. I mean, yeah, he's occasionally have a really nice game. He'll score a lot. He's a good scorer. Man, I'm not a fan of the
guy. I mean, they've done amazing in the Talen Horton-Tucker minutes.
Well, they were minus 12 in his minutes today. But overall,
well, probably, they're plus 10.4 net rating on the season. Like, he's of the guys who played a meaningful amount of minutes, he's the best on the team.
I do just want to say though, also too, because I hear this a lot too. Well, yeah, Bezalis has a great net rating. Part of that is also that Billy is very selective on when he plays him. Like, do you really believe? I always say this to these people I'm arguing with. If he started, you think he's going to do? Like, to me, his issues are especially against bigger guys, keeping him off the boards on the defensive end. He's really struggles with just keeping the guys off the board. It's because he's just so small.
I trust Bezalis as a rebounder more than Pat Williams. Like, the next time Patrick Williams boxes out someone who's trying to get a rebound, will be the first. He doesn't box anyone out. He is just completely clueless. Like, you just like walk around him. I remember that clip you posted like a year ago of like this guy just walks straight past Patrick Williams. Doesn't even look, doesn't put a body, doesn't try and take up space. He's a god awful rebounder. So I don't like Bezalis at least is going to put in effort. And yeah, I think net rating is like such a crap stat. Like, I absolutely hate the fact that people quote it so much. I agree with you. Like, I don't think Bezalis is going to make the Bulls a lot better. But, like, Patrick Williams is definitely not making the Bulls better. He's never made the Bulls better in his whole career. And so I don't think he needs to play 27 minutes a night. Like, Jalen Smith, like, just eye test, looks a hell of a lot better. And Matas Bezalis looks, you know, like, about the same to me. Like, he actually makes impact plays occasionally. Like, Patrick Williams, basically, unless he's just having a hot shooting night, like one of his 1-4 games where he shoots well, like, he has no impact on the game.
Patrick Williams is a much better three-point shooter than Bezalis right now. Like, that's where he's significantly better. I don't want to get too deep in this, because at least Bezalis has an excuse. He's young. He's 20 years old. He hasn't, you know, he's not in his fifth year making $19 million a year. So, like, both these guys, like, I think there's a little bit too much, like, I'm fine when, like, if the Bulls decide to go in that direction and start trading guys. But, like, I think it's really easy to say you gotta give Bezalis 25 minutes. And I'm like,
yeah, I'm with you. I don't really disagree. Like, I'm about in the same boat as you. Like, I think it'd be, if they, I'll put it this way, if they played him five more minutes a game, I wouldn't be up in arms going like, no, you can't play this guy.
Me neither, but I'm not up in arms now.
But I'm not up in arms now saying like, oh, you got to get him more minutes. Like he's deserving them or he's whatever. Like, no, he's, you know, like you can make an argument one way or the other, depending because Patrick Williams has been so bad, but like Buzelis has not been good. And he also it's fine what they're doing. They're trying to put him in positions he can succeed. It's fine.
Yeah. So last topic, we're almost already at 50 minutes, but we do got to get into our favorite topic usually of every show, Josh Giddey. I've really been impressed over some performances in the past few weeks of Josh Giddey. I think he's getting better on defensive end. He's definitely, I've seen improvement. I find him like so incredibly maddening. Like I thought today was a great example. Like I was watching him with my father and I thought he had an incredible first half. He was getting to the rim really easily. Didn't finish as well as I wish he would, but overall I thought he played really well in that first half. And then, you know, you go to the second half and, you know, he's getting all the way to the rim. He's trying to kick it back out, throwing it off the backboard. I don't know how many times this year I've seen him get by a guy, just lay the ball up and he's throwing it out to the 3-point line. Like you're right at the rim. Just finish at the rim. And, you know, I guess he's not doing
well. Well, he whiffed on like his first four finishes at the rim. So I can see why he got scared and started whipping the ball out. Right. Like, I mean, that was just kind of the way it went.
Isn't it like talk about a roller coaster of the season? Like to me, I don't even know what to say sometimes because sometimes he's had some awesome games like that Milwaukee game. I don't think we've had a show since that game. He was awesome that game, you know, so like he's up and down and he's still 22. So it's like, I don't know, man. I think I want to get him at 20 million.
Are you gonna drop a? He's only 22. Very Patrick Williams esque in your comments there.
So oh, 22, dude, you know, he's way better than Patrick Williams was at 22. Come on, way better. I think. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing I'll say is, you know, this year, his scoring, you know, is taken another step back, and part of it is just the shot attempts, and probably part of it is the teammates he's with. But, you know, he's not taking a step forward there. If you think of the things, like you said, what do you need to get better at? And it's like offensive efficiency. Now, whether that be by drawing a lot of fouls, you know, and playing more physical, finishing at the rim better or shooting the three better, like you need to be an efficient offensive player. And he's still not. And that he's not really made any progress there. So that's like item number one that I would have wanted to see a change in. And he's regressed a teeny bit from last year, but it's about the same. So that's number one. The three-point shooting specifically we wanted to see better. Again, it's basically about the same as the last 2 years, you know, hovering around 33%. But the thing is they're all wide open. No one goes within 20 feet of them. No one guards them out there. And 33% is not good enough to punish a team if they're going to leave you wide open and everyone else has to play with an extra defender on them. And then the defense is, to your point, over the last, I don't know, what you say, like 3 weeks maybe, you know, we've seen a concerted effort that looks like it's improving and looks a little better. But the limitations there are such that he's probably never going to be even average. Like the best we can get to is below average, most likely. And I'm glad to see the improvement there. But until I see the improvement on the offensive side, scoring the ball with some efficiency, it's hard for me to get on the Giddey bandwagon in terms of keeping him at anything more than the mid-level exception.
Wow. Okay, so you wouldn't – I brought this up today. Like, if they gave him the exact same contract that Patrick Williams has, you would say no?
I probably wouldn't. What I would do is I would – not make him any offer. I'd put the qualifying offer out there, make him a restricted free agent, and be like, yep, go see what you can get in the market. So what they should have done with Patrick Williams last year, and they didn't do it, and then they got totally burned. There's basically no teams with cap space this year. I just don't think there's going to be any market for him at all. And I would then say, like, all right, we'll come back and we'll give you the mid-level exception. You know, we'll give you $1 million over it, $2 million over it, like for 3 years. You know, well, $14 million a year for 3 years. Like, I just would not want to come out and be like, let me set the market.
So a team comes out and gives them 24 a year. What you say? No,
let him go,
man, dude.
Yeah, let him go,
dude. I think that would be a gut punch. I really do. I like him definitely more than Williams. Like,
It wouldn't bother me. Like, I look at it this way, and I know people say, well, you got nothing for Alex Caruso then. Well, there's a good chance that was going to happen no matter what, right? Like, if we took the draft, just hear me out for a second. If we took the draft choice, there is a good chance whoever we drafted was going to be a bust and give you nothing. Like, that's just how it is. Like, there's a very good chance that would happen. Just in the draft, right? Like, we weren't going to get, like, one of the elite picks you know was going to work out. At the point we drafted, it's like the area where probably, like, 40% of the players are busts. And Josh Giddey, it's like, you know, like, you know he's decent. Like, you know he's, like, not a bust in terms of a player. Like, he belongs in the league, right? Like, neither of us think Josh Giddey is going to be out of the league when his contract's up. But you don't want Josh Giddey on a bad contract. Like, that doesn't help you any. And so if it's going to be a bad contract, you just got to let him go. And that is what it is. Like, you can't just compete to be the dumbest team in the room. Like, I know that's our MO, but, like, if it's a bad deal, you got to just eat your sunk cost. You know, that is what it is. Like, you can't overpay Josh Giddey to be like, well, now I got something for Alex Caruso. Well, you got a bad contract for Alex Caruso then. That's worse than nothing. So you have to either make the contract work for you where you feel like this is a good deal, or you just have to be like, whatever, it is what it is. Like, yep, bummer that we didn't get something more long-term. We took a chance on this kid because we thought he still had reasonable upside, you know, but yeah, we don't want to spend $24 million a year on him. And that is what it should be.
It's going to be a fascinating.
Well, it's not, because our front office is going to probably offer Josh Giddey like $28 million a year, like before free agency hits.
You're right.
For 5 years with a player option.
We're all going to be down on
like
it.
No trade clause.
Our perception of the player, because I do feel like he's done enough for me to say like, hey man, this guy's valuable. Like I could see him being on a team, you know, helping a team win. I he's not a terrible player. And,
yeah, I agree with that, but not at $28 million or something.
No doubt.
That's just the problem. Like, everyone's got a cost. Even $20 million is insane to me.
That's not with insane his flaws. I think there's a dividing line right there, $20 million.
We've flipped positions since the offseason. You're now the giddy optimist of the two of us.
I'm now the giddy. I'm the giddy, and you're the smart guy. Now
you've become what you've hated most.
All right, GT. I got to bring it, the bus and my voice in for repairs. So on that note, let's bring it in. Doug, it's always, I love talking Bulls with you, my man, and it's been far too long. Looking forward to talking a lot more in 2025. And everybody, thank you so much for listening. Give us a positive review because that's what everybody tells us. I have no idea why, but go ahead and do it. If you don't like it, pound sand. Until next time, let's go Bulls.
Go Bulls.